Hi, and welcome to a mini special episode of Girls in Pole Position. I'm Jasmine and I'm hosting today, joined by Gemma and Amrit. It's good to be back after a break over the holidays, and we are excited to prepare for the new season. Today we're going to celebrate LGBTQ plus History Month and talk about its relevancy in F1. So F1 has only ever had one openly gay driver, Mike Butler, who raced the 3 seasons between 1971 and 1973. He raced during a time where the sport was dominated by traditional forms of masculinity and womanizing drivers. Gemma, do you think this culture in F1 has changed over the years, or is it still very much a space dominated by heterosexual males?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's changed that much. Unfortunately, I really wish I could say yes, we've come a long way. But I think sport in general, there's still a lot to be done. Not even just Formula One, just sport everywhere. I think there's a lot of progress to be made in this topic. But I mean, the fact that every single driver on the grid, as far as we know, is heterosexual. So I can't say that it's not a heterosexual dominated sport. Because, yeah, in Formula One, I think it still is. I think the culture of it being like womanizing, I think that's not quite as bad as it used to be. Because I think in the 70s and the 80s, it was all about like kind of just like having loads of women on the go. And, you know, they had the grid girls, and it was all very glamorous and all very that, like, over the top and glamorous, as I said. And like, I don't even know how else to describe it. I mean, I wasn't there, so I'm just quoting what I've seen in the media that looks back at it. But yeah, from what I've seen, it seems to have come a long way in terms of its attitudes. But in terms of representation, I don't think it has.
I agree. I think that the culture has changed, but there is still work to be done. Amrit, did you have any thoughts?
I agree with Gemma. I do think that there is work to be done, although it's not as like the womanizing culture, especially, is not as bad as it was back then. Although obviously we weren't alive, so we don't know. Yeah, I do think obviously all the drivers are still men, and as far as we know, they are all heterosexual. So I think, yeah, there is definitely work to be done. I just basically echo what Gemma says.
I think it's become a lot more accepting of, you know, if there was a homosexual driver, I think, you know, people wouldn't, it wouldn't bat as many eyelids as it might have done back in Mike Butler's time. But I think, you know, it's the attitudes towards it have come a long way. And the attitudes of, you know, a lot of the drivers speak out about, you know, supporting LGBT rights. But I think in terms of actually representation within the sport, I don't think anything has changed at all.
Yeah, exactly. I do agree. I think a lot of drivers speaking out about it more openly, like supporting the community, like Vettel especially, which we
Hamilton
will
as
talk
well, yeah.
about as well. So it's really nice to see that coming from the drivers themselves, especially with the big platforms that they have.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to see that there is change on the horizon. So back to Mike Butler, former journalist and friend Ian Phillips said that Butler gave it absolutely everything on the track. He wasn't a natural talent, but he worked hard. I knew he was gay, but it didn't matter in my world. And then Butler scored 5 top 10 finishes throughout his career, the best being 7th in the Spanish Grand Prix in 1973. And he died from AIDS 1988, aged only 48. Do you think that there is enough awareness about Mike Butler as a gay driver? Because I personally hadn't heard of him until we researched for this episode, and I feel like he should be, his story should be spread around more in the Formula One media, because I feel like representation matters and it might help young LGBT people feel more included and feel kind of more represented on screen. I don't know what you think, Amrit.
I definitely do agree that he needs to be spoken about more, because I just didn't know who he was until we researched for this episode. And then looking into him, like, he is a really successful driver, so I don't get why he's not mentioned. Like, you know, before the races start on Sky Sports, and they have like the little bit of history bit, like, I've never ever seen him mentioned on there once. So I find that really shocking, to be fair, especially when drivers are starting to openly support the community. I don't get why he hasn't been mentioned by the sport and like publicized for everything that he did, because he was like being openly gay. I think he did make a lot of people at the time feel included, like fans of the sport. So I would, I really wish that he had more representation in the media nowadays.
Definitely agree, but then at the same time, because he raced in the 70s, obviously being homosexual had only just been made legal, like, you know, we were in a completely different time period at that time, because it was, you know, people probably still unfortunately had that stigma that it was something wrong and something bad in the early 70s, because it had only just been recently legalized. I think it took people from that point where it was legalized, it took it people a long time to actually become accepting of it to the extent where they are today. So I guess, like, maybe in the 70s he might not have been as accepted as he would have been today. And I know, like, you know, people like his friends said they knew he was gay, but I've also heard rumors that he used to, you know, turn up the races with women. And it makes me think, you know, maybe he wasn't as open about it as maybe he could have been today. You know, maybe he did have to put on a bit of a front, and he was open about it with the, you know, his team, the people he was close with, his friends, but maybe not. I can't imagine he discussed it that much openly, because it was in a time when maybe people's views hadn't changed enough yet to do so. So yeah, it's a really difficult one, but I completely agree with the fact that he should be spoken about more, because I hadn't heard of him either till we started researching for this episode. And it definitely should be spoken about, because, you know, the fact that he's the only gay driver to have ever raced in Formula One that we are aware of, it's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. And the fact that he died of AIDS as well, because in the 80s, like, there was a huge stigma around that. So I feel like that kind of needs to be talked about more and sort of break down that stigma.
100%. I mean, with It's a Sin on Channel 4, the drama series, I feel like people really, I was never aware really of what that time period was like. Obviously, as we've said, none of us were alive then, but, you know, I it's a part of history I feel like I had no idea about. So yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of work to be done with in terms of that as well.
So moving on to sort of efforts that have been made in more recent years, the Racing Pride organization was launched in 2019, and it promotes LGBTQ plus inclusivity in motorsport. Co-founder Richard Morris came out as gay in 2018. So do you think that this organization has been a leading force in pushing for change in the most motorsport sector? Has motorsport needed this movement to be more inclusive, or has it never been an issue? Has motorsport always been inclusive? What do you think, Gemma?
I don't think motorsport, any sport, has ever been fully inclusive, in my opinion. Even if you look at football, like, you know, football, the culture of it, I don't think is inclusive. The fact that the women's leagues aren't given as much spotlight as the men's, I don't think any sport, obviously football is just an example, but you can apply that to so many others. I don't think any sport has ever been completely inclusive, and I don't think any sport would ever claim to be, and I think motorsport is included in that. So I definitely think, you know, having an organization that supports it is great. I mean, you know, it's great even just for awareness. It's great that, you know, even though there aren't any members of the LGBT community racing in Formula One, it's great that they are still supporting the Pride movement by creating an organization that's run by LGBT people. And, you know that the support is going to the right place because of that, which I think is great. And I do think it's been a leading force in pushing for change in the motorsport sector, because even though, you know, the change might seem small right now, based on, you know, the fact that probably like 10 years ago, the motorsport industry had nothing to do with LGBT inclusivity, even that's a great move in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that makes sense. Hopefully we can see more change taking place in the future. Amrit, do you think that this organisation will make way for more changes in Formula One specifically, or do you think there's a long way to go before that happens?
I do hope that this organisation will make changes in Formula One specifically, with Formula One being like the one everyone thinks of when you think of motorsport. I think it is good for them to focus making it better in that realm. I do think though that when I was researching, there are other areas of motorsport where like the Le Mans class winner, Danny Watts, came out in 2017. There are other areas of motorsport which obviously the whole sport needs to be changed, not just Formula One. So I do hope that along with Formula One changing, that like other motorsports use the organization to get representation out there and to be really welcoming of the community and make their fans feel represented.
I think another big body of people in Formula One who have really helped is Aston Martin, because they partnered with this organization, which I think is great. Especially I think the fact that Seb is their driver has led to that probably, because obviously that's a cause that's really important to him, as we said before. And I think it's great that they have a direct partnership with the team. I'm assuming the fact that Aston Martin's chief communications officer, Bishop, is a co-founder of the organization also led to that. And he's a big ambassador for the group. And he is also, he identifies as gay himself. So yeah, I think the fact that they have a direct partnership with an F1 team should really help to generate that change as well, because I think Aston Martin are very dedicated to that cause.
Yeah, on this note, I think that change needs to happen in Formula One, because these are people with the platforms, like Hamilton, Vettel, Verstappen, they're all the biggest names in motorsport. So if they're supportive and partnering with the organization, then that will hopefully lead to change in the sport because of their influence.
That actually brings me on to my next point. So we've talked a bit about current F1 drivers who are supportive. So Vettel, he wore a pride shirt in 2021 during the Hungary Grand Prix as a protest against the anti-LGBT laws in place in that country. And Hamilton also took a similar stance in Qatar when he wore a rainbow helmet during the race, because they also had anti-LGBT laws in place. So how important do you think it is for these prominent F1 drivers to come out in support of the community? Do you think that this will help promote inclusivity and hopefully eventually it will ensure that we get more LGBT drivers coming up through the ranks into F1, or do you think it's more just a show of performativity and it's not actually doing anything?
I think it's really important if there is no representation in the sport. Obviously, you know, there's little that people can do about the fact that there's no LGBT drivers on the grid. The least they can do is show their support for Pride, show their support for the LGBT community, and, you know, prove that they are allies, and not just through performative gestures but also through genuine work that they do. And I'm not too familiar with how much the drivers do in terms of actually supporting the community, but I know that you know the people from Racing Pride organization have said that having someone like Seb who completely understands the cause and everything is very heartening and means a lot to them. So I mean, the fact that even there are drivers like Seb, drivers like Lewis, who are openly demonstrating in countries where it also could be quite dangerous for them to do so. They are probably putting themselves at risk by doing this as well, which is very sad. It's, you know, you could put yourself at risk by supporting the LGBT community. But it's true in countries like Hungary and Qatar, when they have those laws, you know, that it might, there's a high risk that it would anger the leaders of the country. It could mean that they don't want F1 back. It could cause a lot of PR problems. But the fact that they're willing to risk that to support the community, I think shows that, you know, their heart's in the right place and they really are dedicated to the cause. Some could say it's negative, but, you know, in a country where they are completely the opposite viewpoints to the UK people, and they think that it's completely unacceptable to be part of the LGBT community.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, we've seen recently that Vettel is said he won't race in Russia with the current political situation and the invasion. So I just think that drivers using their platform is really good. And obviously, because they're not part of the community themselves, the least they can do is show solidarity and support for it, no matter, even if it's just something like a T-shirt or a helmet. And also doing it, as Gemma said, in a country where they're putting themselves at risk. Especially with them being such high profile figures who like can be targeted when they're out and about, I think it does show that it's not really performative, and it shows that it's coming from a place of good, hopefully.
Yeah, that is true. If they're doing it in countries where it's literally illegal, then yeah, it feels like they're sort of standing in solidarity and it's not performative at all. So finally, we're going to talk about the W series and how that incorporates inclusivity. So recently, Caitlyn Jenner, who's quite a famous transgender woman, she's acquired a team in a W series. And I was quite surprised by this news because Caitlyn Jenner isn't necessarily a figure that I associate with motorsports. So do you think that Caitlyn Jenner being quite a prominent transgender person and now making this move in the W series, do you think that will help include transgender people in the conversation around motorsports, or will like her influence not necessarily move the conversation onto transgender people? Amrit, what do you think?
I think it will definitely help, especially because she's such a high profile figure who is into motorsports. I have read that before about that she is into motorsports, I think. I'm pretty sure I have. I do think that, especially leading a team, that is, or acquiring a team and being the owner, that is a big role to have. And she obviously, she'll be publicized everywhere in relation to the sport. So it's good to get the representation out there and show that the sport is becoming inclusive and it's not just dominated by heterosexual white men like it was before in motorsport in general. And especially in the W series, with it being a women's series, it is really good progress.
It did surprise me quite a bit at first, but when I actually looked into it, I did realise that she had some racing experience back in the 80s. So I guess it does make a little bit more sense. Obviously, she's always been very involved in the sporting community. That's where she originated from, like with how she kind of became known before she became a Jenner. But yeah, I think it is a very strange crossover. It's not one that I expected, especially with the announcement that Jamie Chadwick will be racing for her. So she's got a double world champion under her belt on her team, which I think, I did not expect Jamie Chadwick to go to that team. You know, to join a new team when you're a double world champion, I'm pretty sure any team would have snapped Jamie Chadwick up. So it must, you know, there must be something there. And I don't think the Jenners or the Kardashians tend to do anything in halves. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were actually quite good. But moving on from that to talk about it more in terms of the LGBT community, I mean, I think it can never be a bad thing to have a transgender woman as a team principal, even though it is, you know, an unexpected one. And it's a very famous name to be bringing into W series, which is quite a relatively small motorsport series. But I definitely do think that the conversation, you know, it's definitely started conversation. When anyone from the Kardashian Jenner family does something, it starts conversation. So yeah, I think, you know, it does kind of start the conversation about, oh, transgender, you know, a transgender woman's involved in motorsport. That's new. That's not happened before. So for it to, you know, there's got to be a first. And I think, you know, the sooner that the first happens, the better. And I'm glad that it has happened now. And I do hope that this will mean that more transgender people can get involved in motorsport over the time. Now that I think a lot of the time it's about just breaking that barrier. And now with what Caitlyn Jenner has done, she has been the first transgender team principal. She's broken that barrier, and now hopefully it'll be easier for other transgender people to get involved too.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that her presence will sort of open up the conversation more in terms of representation. And yeah, I'm excited to see like where the team goes, because that'll be fun to watch. Speaking of the W series, drivers Abby Eaton and Sarah Moore both identify as lesbians. And recently, Sarah Moore became the first LGBTQ plus driver on the podium during a Grand Prix weekend in Austria last year. Do you think moments like these help promote representation within motorsport and help encourage other LGBT people to follow in their footsteps? I mean, obviously, it's quite difficult to say, because with something like Formula One or even like the other formulas, you have to start quite young in order to succeed. So do you think that this is really going to make a difference, or is it more of a something that's going to take, I don't know, decades to change? Amrit, what do you think?
I think it is good that, like, the obviously following on from the last question, the representation is getting out there. Yeah, I do. Yeah, it is good that the representation is getting out there. But I guess because it is another thing you have to start so young, it's something which can be like hard to judge, I guess, but like it is good that the representation of women on the podium who are part of the community is getting out there and being put on the big screen to blast, because you often don't hear a lot about the drivers who will come at the bottom of the races. So it's good that people who are part of the community are getting the podiums and the wins and are getting the representation out there at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. I do think it will help in the long run, because even just like seeing someone like yourself being represented on a podium, like that's a pretty powerful moment. Gemma, I don't know if you have any final thoughts on this before we wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult because, as you said, they do start really young. You start in karting when you're about, like, you know, 5 to 7 years old seems to be the kind of standard time. So it's really difficult because obviously most don't know their sexuality at that point, or maybe they haven't discovered it yet until they're in their teens. So, yeah, it's a really difficult one, because when you have to decide that you're doing something so young, it's hard to get that representation, because people, you know, you are just a child at that point, really. So it's not really a talking point until these drivers do grow up. But yeah, I mean, it's great to have that representation on the podium. I think it's brilliant. But in terms of with young LGBT drivers, you know, people, you know, in their teen years who are exploring their sexuality and maybe coming to terms with the fact that they're part of the LGBT community, it might be too late for them to get involved in motorsports. So it's a really difficult one, but I'd say how it will help is maybe if there are young drivers who are now in their teens, who started when they were children but are now in teens and are maybe feeling like, I know Lewis Hamilton said he did, like, really outnumbered and, you know, unwelcome in motorsport because he was the only black driver at every single karting event he went to. Maybe seeing moments like these will help those drivers who are maybe, you know, around the age of 11 to 15 who are coming up the ranks. It will make them feel more welcome and like they do belong now. So I think it would definitely help, but I don't know if it will help with getting LGBT people into motorsport, but it will help if there are any young LGBT people in motorsport already who are climbing the way up the ranks. It will help them to feel more accepted.
Yeah, that's definitely a good way of looking at it. So that's all we have time for right now. So thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode on LGBT History Month. We have two more special episodes coming out too, so give those a listen on all streaming services and on the URN website while you wait for us to be back with F1 content in the new season. Follow us on Instagram @girlsinpoleposition. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.